Showtime, folks. Welcome in, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game on this Thursday. We are live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel. We're in the lobby by the Guitar Pick Bar, which is brand new, and it is fantastic. He's Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos back at the studio. Sean Mark is here as well. What's up, JoJo?
What's going, man? Good to see you, buddy.
Hey, it's good to see you.
I don't know if you saw, but last week you went to Metallica. Did you see what happened last night?
No.
Evidently, they played at Virginia Tech Stadium for the first time, and they did Enter Sandman, and the video is will give you chills, man. You know, 70,000 people in that stadium because Virginia Tech
made it their
walkout song, and it was just so cool. So it was fun watching that because I know you were there. Last week, and was it when they played Enter Sandman? People lose their mind.
They did when they played it on Saturday, and it was awesome. I mean, it was really cool.
You know what else is cool?
What? I mean, go ahead, say it.
So we're at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Shout out to our good friend Todd Rodermill. So we're here, and then I'm walking in, and I see this guy walking out. I'm like, God, he looks familiar, and I realized that it's the lead singer of Lynyrd Skynyrd. I'm telling you what, Chase and I go outside. It's like, hey, man, you're a vital part of our youth. I mean, you and the band and everything. And I'm telling you, Johnny Van Zant couldn't have been any nicer.
He was awesome.
To us. He was gracious. And I'm not saying he's never not. I've only met him one time. But holy cow, man. So
it, like, made his day.
It was cool.
And I was telling you, the first concert I went to at Starwood Amphitheater was Lynyrd Skynyrd with Brett Michaels as the opener.
That's
not Poison,
awesome.
But Brett Michaels.
That is so awesome. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was really cool. So my buddy that we went to that concert together, my dad took us, I sent him the picture, and he goes, well, he's just a little feller.
Yes.
But no, he was super nice.
So yeah, that was really
cool.
Saw the
shirt. Maybe he's listening. Shout out to Johnny Van Zant.
Yeah, hey, Johnny, just call him whenever you want to, and we'll talk to you.
615-737-1025.
Which leads into a thing, you know, we'll get into the whole world of sports today, but just a celebrity that you've run into that was just so much nicer than you possibly imagined. You know, yeah. I've told you about Garth Brooks. Garth Brooks, to me, is one of the most gracious people I've ever met. Opportunity interview was just fantastic. I mean, it's not like I would expect anything bad from him, but he asked more questions to me than I asked to him.
Right.
I don't know. You can tell when somebody's genuine.
Yeah. And I just that kind of made my day. It was really cool. Good way to start things. Good vibes going into the show. But we are live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel here at the Guitar Pick. Yeah. No, okay. I keep wanting to say Kitchen Notes, but we're just outside Kitchen Notes. So if you come down here, you'll see us in the lobby. Joe's going to be taking bags and up to rooms here in a minute.
Doing all that, right?
Celebrity bellhop.
Our good friend on Twitter, Rocky Top Buck, says off our picture, we put a picture out of us and Johnny Van Zant. Says, I thought that was AJ Styles for a minute. Is that what he looks like?
A wrestler?
Yeah.
He does kind of look like AJ Styles.
Oh, man, that's good.
Yeah. So we might, Dr. Crane, we might have to have some Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Will do.
Flair today.
Dr. Crane, are you familiar with Lynyrd Skynyrd? Because you're a youngin'.
Yes, I am, Joe.
Okay.
Sorry about name that. Name two buddy. Songs that they have sung, not named Sweet Home Alabama or Freebird.
That's a great question, Chase. I don't know.
Give me three steps, baby.
Simple Man.
I mean, I have CDs that are in my dad's Cutlass that I listened to as a kid, but I don't have them on me.
Hang on. Your dad has a Cutlass? That's awesome.
Yeah, with the T-tops, glass T-tops.
Oh, nice. That's really cool.
1984?
Yes. The black one with the red stripe on it. It's really nice.
Why are you holding out on us with this?
Well, I don't know. I just, it's a family heirloom at this point. My brother drove it throughout high school. I ended up having to drive an 04 Jeep, and yeah, that's about it.
That is about it.
Good stuff.
That's great stuff.
Hopefully that brightened your day. I don't know.
It really did. Thank you.
It did. So have you been watching either the Stanley Cup playoffs or the NBA playoffs at all? Okay, that's what I thought.
You know, I get my updates from Ian Safar.
Yes,
that's how I get my great. What's going on in the NBA and NHL world, the Game Center updates.
Well, I will tell you, the Winnipeg-Dallas series is going to be fantastic. Mikko Rantanen scored a hat trick again last night as the Stars beat the Winnipeg Jets 3-2. Is the late game, and then Toronto took a 2-0 series lead on Florida, winning that game 4-3. NHL playoffs have been fantastic.
They're always, it's always been great. Awesome. So Winnipeg had more points. They won the President's Trophy, right?
Correct.
Is that curse still out there?
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I think so, I mean, the Predators won it and lost in 7 games to Winnipeg that year.
Yep, in 18, right?
Yeah.
Had they won that, who would they have played?
Vegas.
Is that the year Vegas won the Cup?
No, that was Vegas' first year.
Okay.
They lost to Barry Trotz and the Washington Capitals.
Ah, that's right.
But I think the Predators would have won that year.
Okay.
I mean, we had the what-if game the other day with the Titans, like if they beat the Bengals, and we all said that they would have won the Super Bowl. I mean, I think there'd be a Stanley Cup in Nashville.
Does the Preds win in 17 if Johansson doesn't get hurt?
Yes.
You think so?
Yep. I think so.
He had that compartment syndrome injury, yep. Which just –
somebody else just had that too, I think. But, yeah, no, I think if Johansson is available for the Cup final – well, and there's so many what-ifs with that series because, like, as some of our listeners said the other day, you know, if they don't call that goal back because of the offsides, the phantom offsides, like, I think that changes that whole series too.
Yeah.
But, you know, that doesn't happen.
Was that the game where Crosby pounded Subban's head in the ice? Or was that here?
It was game one.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, it was the first game up there, and Laviolette was incensed.
He was.
So was Poile, actually. But, yes, I mean, you can play this game all day long, ifs and buts.
Yeah.
But
that's right.
It is what it is.
We like doing that. I remember Pekka, that game two was terrible, right? And then he came back here and then.
Yeah, he was okay in game one and then just kind of had a meltdown.
Then 3 and 4, he was dynamic. I mean, that was boom. He was so good in that. Oh, well, I mean, it's maybe one day again.
So, Dr. Crane, what is it that there's some quarterfinals coming to Geodis Park in August? Is that what I understand?
Aston Villa, who's an English Premier League team, they're going to be playing in a friendly August the 2nd at Geodis Park against Nashville SC. So that'll be interesting. I guess, obviously, August is the European schedule. A lot of the club teams right now are ending their seasons domestically, and then the Champions League final is going to be, I believe, in June sometime. But normally August is preseason for all the European clubs. And Nashville will currently, at that time, would be at the end of their MLS season. October is kind of when the playoffs begin. So for Nashville, I think it'd be a good, I guess, test to see if they're actually one of the best clubs in the world and give them an extra boost going into the playoffs.
How is your hockey team?
Very nice.
Your soccer team doing? I'm sorry.
They're pretty good. I mean,
you're talking about Nashville SC or like his club team that he has with his buddies?
Nashville SC.
Nashville SC won Tuesday night against the Chattanooga Red Wolves in the U.S. Open Cup. Nice. They won 1-0. Josh Bauer scored a nice laser of a shot to the back of the net. They go on to the round of 16. Excuse me. They played round of 32 on Tuesday. Round of 16, sometime in the future. I don't know if it's in the month of May. It might be later. But they either played the Tampa Bay Rowdies or the Orlando City SC.
Get it, brother.
I believe it was Orlando that was up 4-0 last night. So
nice.
They'll probably play Orlando.
Is this all part of the Talking Caucho?
Yes, it is, Joseph. And we just had a new episode loaded this morning.
Nice. Where can we find that?
On the Game Nashville Sports Network podcast page.
There you go. Good. Good job. Proud of you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Very proud of him. All right, Chase, you want the question of the day?
Yes, please give us the question of the day.
So the question of the day is going to be one. It's going to have to reach deep for this one. It's a deep one. So here it is.
Never mind.
Don't do it. It's one you got to reach in your heart to pull out. Our question today, Chase has no idea what this is, neither does Dr. Crane.
I never do.
Here we go. What is the most important decision you've ever made in your life?
Ooh.
What is the most important decision you ever made in your entire life? Whatever it is, let us know, 615-737-1025. We'll have we'll get in some heartstrings with this one. But yeah. I'm just curious, what's the most important decision you've ever made with your entire life?
That's a good one. 615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live today at the Guitar Pick Bar outside in the lobby of the Omni Nashville Hotel, just outside of Kitchen Notes, here on 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3, the game here on this Thursday. Hope you're having a great day. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. And Dr. Crane is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Some interesting news out of the National Hockey League that I just saw. Darren Drager, who is an NHL insider for TSN, just tweeted, quote, "See how the day unfolds, but indications are Joel Quenneville is going to be the next head coach in Anaheim. Suggestion of an announcement today." Very interesting news there that this could be Joel Quenneville's way of coming back into the National Hockey League.
Give me his background.
So he was the head coach of the Chicago Blackhawks for a long time, won 3 Stanley Cups with them, left there, went to the Florida Panthers, and resigned in the midst of a scandal that had happened when he was with Chicago. Basically a player that was sexually assaulted, and there was a lot of – it was kind of like Penn State, a lot of looking the other way, one of those situations.
Right.
And Quenneville wasn't directly involved, but I think he kind of knew what was going on and didn't do what he should have done about it. So he resigned. Andrew Brunette took over for Florida as the interim head coach, got them to the playoffs, won the President's Trophy, and Quenneville has been out of hockey – since then. He was, I think last year they reinstated him or said he could, you know, get a job. But so indications were that he could potentially land a coaching job this year, and it looks like it's going to be Anaheim. He interviewed there. I know Vegas kind of had him as the favorite after he did the interview. So according to Darren Drager, it looks like it might happen.
You're a big fan of him, right?
I'm not a big fan of what he did or didn't do, but I think he's a good coach.
But as a coach.
Yeah. As a coach, I'm a fan. So,
God, he's
we'll
hockey.
See. Elliot Friedman will join DVD later today at 1, so I'm sure he'll have a lot on this.
These hockey coaches are like baseball managers.
Yeah, they bounce around.
Football, you don't see it as much. You don't see a guy get a second chance, but other than that, you know, very rarely a third chance to do that. Doesn't happen.
Vegas also has Peter Laviolette as the favorite to get the Penguins job. That'd be interesting. It's so like he's Fisher going to the Rams.
He's got Carolina, Nashville, Philadelphia, Rangers. Am I leaving one more out?
Islanders. That was his first job.
Did he do the Capitals one year?
Yeah.
He's had 6 jobs.
Yep.
He's had 6 head coaching jobs.
And has taken 3 of those to the Stanley Cup final.
Remember that year he got fired after 3 games?
That was Philly.
Yeah.
Hal Gill was on that team.
Was he really?
Yeah.
3 games in, he gets fired.
Yep.
Good Lord. What's one thing I like about the NHL? They're not afraid to pull the plug.
No, I mean, it's quick, but then, you know, they get another opportunity pretty quick.
Yeah, they do that.
So
I'm trying to think football doubled. Like, McCarthy had it, Green Bay and Dallas.
Yeah, John Fox had 3 jobs, Carolina, Denver, and Chicago.
Sean Payton.
Sean Payton's been New Orleans and Denver.
Yep.
Ron Rivera, Carolina, Washington. Is there another one?
Is there?
Riverboat Ron?
He didn't coach Chicago, did he?
No, he played there.
I knew that. I don't think so. Yeah, Carolina, Washington.
Yeah, let's see.
Now he's the GM at Cal or?
Yeah, Carolina and Washington.
Okay.
So that's 2.
Wisenhunt?
Wisenhunt had 2. Fisher had 2.
So it's commonplace.
Gruden's had. I mean, how do you count Gruden? Because he had 2 stints with the Raiders plus the Bucks. So, I mean, he's had 3 bites at the apple,
okay.
I would say.
All right. All right. Currently now,
Belichick had
for a day. Oh, yeah. Cleveland.
Cleveland, yeah.
And then for a day, he was the head coach of the Jets.
Parcells had several.
Giants,
Patriots, Jets, Cowboys.
God, he did, didn't he? Four.
Yeah. Bill Walsh.
Just the Niners. Seifert had San Francisco and Carolina. They were terrible in Carolina.
Yeah. Gary Kubiak.
Houston and Denver. Won a Super Bowl at Denver. So two is commonplace. Three, not so much.
Yeah, three is pretty rare. I'm trying to think of – there was another one that I just had and I just – oh, Holmgren.
Seattle, Green Bay. Schottenheimer, Kansas City, San Diego.
I think he had three.
Cleveland.
That's right. Yep.
Yeah. So they do get these chances to do that.
It depends on the coach, though. Like, the ones that we have said that have had three bites at it are pretty good coaches.
Malarkey,
yeah. Jacksonville, Buffalo, here.
Mm-hmm. I like Malarkey.
Yeah, I always thought he kind of got a raw deal just about every job he had.
That's still, I think, the most bizarre press conference after they beat the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Because I didn't go. I mean, another crew went, and I remember watching the press conference live. I'm like, oh, this would be great. They won their first playoff game since 2003. They beat the Chiefs. This is feeling good.
Pete Carroll's had three jobs.
Pete Carroll's had three, yeah. New England.
Patriots, Seattle, and then Raiders.
Were you there when Malarkey gave that press conference in Kansas City?
No, I wasn't on that one.
All right. And he just said, basically, I'm getting no support.
Vrabel's had two shots now, as somebody just said. Yeah.
That was something. And then it's like, what the hell is going on here? Then they got beat by New England the next week, and then Malarkey was gone.
Yep.
So odd. But he's always pleasant to us. A few stories on that. I'll tell you about the taping practice. Did I tell you this?
Yeah.
He was so nice. Could have been a jerk about it, and he wasn't. So, I don't know, man. That was something. But these coaches, they just – it's tough to break into this. If you're a young coach, man, it's tough to break in. Callahan, you break in, you go 3-14.
Right.
I mean, that's on your record forever.
People are waiting. See, it's always fun to think about things like this, like of coaches that – I'm trying to think if there's more that have coached three places as the head coach in recent memory.
Where Bump Phillips did Oilers and Saints.
What about Wade Phillips?
Gosh. Buffalo.
Dallas. Wasn't he the interim in Denver or New Orleans?
Might have been.
He took over for Baum in New Orleans, I think.
Might have been.
I think Buffalo and Dallas. Let's see. He was the interim head coach in 85 with New Orleans. Head coach of the Broncos, 93-94. Head coach of the Bills, 98-2000. Interim head coach of the Falcons in 2003. Head coach of the Cowboys, 07 and 10. Interim head coach of the Texans in 2013. And now he is the head coach of the San Antonio Brahmins, whoever that is.
Look up Romeo Crennel.
That is also a good one.
Because the interim, you know, it's funny. We talk about interim coaches. You look at Tennessee, the Vols. Like, so you go back from Heupel to Pruitt. You remember who was before Pruitt head coach?
The dude from Michigan.
Yeah. Keep on. You got this.
Oh.
He went to San Diego State.
Yeah. What's his name? I know exactly who. It'll come to me.
Brady Hoke.
Yep. Thank you.
So if you're an interim head coach, you are officially a head coach.
All right. Romeo Crennel, Browns 05 to 08. Chiefs, he took over as the interim in 11 but was the head coach in 12. Texans took over as the interim in 2020 and basically had it that whole year.
So he was three. That's three.
Yeah. That's three.
He's got to hang around and get the job.
Bill O'Brien.
I think
just the Texans, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
Because now he's at Boston College.
Andy Reid's had two, Kansas City and Philly.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. So sometimes there's an exception to the rule with some of these.
Sure.
Bill Callahan, Somebody said, has Bill Callahan only been a head coach one place? Yeah, Raiders and then Nebraska. Well, he's had a few college jobs, I think.
Did he go? No, that's Frank Solich went from Nebraska to Miami.
Marty Schottenheimer.
Ohio University.
We said Marty Schottenheimer had three jobs. Todd Bowles has had two jobs. Jets and Tampa.
Raheem Morris had Tampa Bay and
Atlanta. Who was the head coach before Bruce Arians? Because he had the interim year with Indy, and then he had Arizona and
Tampa.
Yep, so
there's three.
Rex Ryan's had a couple. Jets and Buffalo.
God, I forgot about him in Buffalo.
Yep. Ditka had two.
Heck yeah, he did. Bears and New Orleans.
Yeah.
He almost ruined that New Orleans franchise from 97 to 99.
Yes, he did.
My goodness. But he was fun. They were not a good team, but, man, he was fun to watch.
615-737-1025. We get back to our question of the day. We kind of got sidetracked there for a second.
Question of the day is, what is the most important decision you've ever made in your life? The most important decision you've ever made.
We will get to that coming up next. Chase and Big Joe live today at the Omni Nashville Hotel, proud sponsor of this here radio program. And also tune in tonight. The Nashville Sounds continue their series against the Norfolk Tides. Pregame at 6:20, first pitch at 6:35. And it is presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure over on 94.9 The Fan. Ah, the vocals of Johnny Van Zandt. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Thursday. We're live at the Omni Nashville Hotel. Dr. Crane is a simple man.
He really is. Dr. Crane, let me ask you this, buddy.
Sure.
What is the most important decision you ever made in your life?
That's a tough one, Joe. I've been thinking about it since you put out the question. Honestly, I can't really tell you off the top of my head. I mean, the only thing that really comes to mind would be just sports decisions that I've made in the past of, like, you know, continuing to play football in high school when I was contemplating it in my freshman year, just because of some family stuff that went on. But besides that, I can't really think of anything that kind of dawns on me as something pivotal. I mean, it'll probably come to me by the end of the show, but as of right now, nothing.
All right. Accepting the job from Chase.
yes, that. Yeah, that'll work.
That's pretty important decision there.
Write that one down.
I'm going to say I got baptized in July of 2020, and that to me was the most important decision I ever made. Also, years ago, I made a decision to stop drinking every single night, which really helped my clarity in life.
Yeah.
So that was 25 years ago.
I was thinking through it's what I'm doing now. I made a decision to stay. There were some opportunities, and ultimately I stayed put, and it's been the best thing I've ever done.
Look at that. Sure.
So
a little prayer, a little faith.
It was very, very, very important, and you know, I couldn't be happier and love what we're doing here. So
you're like me. I had opportunities TV-wise to leave. Very good opportunities.
Sure.
But I had I couldn't leave my daughter.
Yeah.
Right? I'd been divorced, and I didn't want to leave. It was unfair to her because that Phoenix and Dallas and Tampa had opportunities. But I was like, I can't. You know, I'll come back every weekend and see you. I'm like, no, I'm not. It's important that if something happened that I am 10 minutes away.
Yeah.
So I never once regretted that. Like, what would have been? What could have been? No, I was – did a lot of prayer, and the Lord kept me here, and for that, I'm forever grateful.
You know, I love the show NCIS, right?
Uh-huh.
And Gibbs has his rules that, you know, he has his rules that he always lives by. And I was trying.
Is that Mark Harmon?
Mark Harmon, okay. Yeah. Former UCLA quarterback.
Yes, it is.
Mark Harmon. So I was trying to look it up, which rule – let's see. I think it's – because I want to make sure I get – yeah, here we go. Rule 91, because he has different rules. When you decide to walk away, don't look back.
Ooh.
And it's like when you make – I kind of look at that as when you make a decision that Leave the decision behind you.
That's right.
Made it.
Yeah.
So don't dwell on it. So that is definitely one to live by. But so let's go to our text, 615-737-1025. I've seen a theme, and I love this. Mike on Kentucky Lake, accept Jesus.
Amen.
That was one. Let's see. JP, coming to faith in Jesus Christ.
Does wonders.
Let's see. This is a great thought-provoking question. I stopped doing drugs back in 2001. It was killing me and my family. I woke up one day and said, enough. Always loved the show.
Oh, strong. It's strong. You know, it's the moment of clarity. You realize, what in the hell am I doing? And then I can do that. So those are all important decisions which get your life going. You mentioned about don't look back. You know, that's the, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah. And God said, don't look back. And she did. And Lot's wife.
Huh?
Oh, is that my computer?
I think so.
Okay, talking back to me then. Don't look back, man. I talk all the time. Don't look back because they my bad there, pal.
It's okay.
Don't let a bad yesterday ruin a good today. Look at us, man. Welcome to our TED Talk on the radio.
I think something's dawned on me a little bit. And it's not primarily a decision that I've had to make in my life, but I'd say more of the multiple decisions I've had to make in my life of the smaller things. Whereas if something, say you're wrong about something, you have to be a bigger man and a bigger person to say, hey, I'm wrong. Like, it takes a really big person to say, you know what, I am wrong. I'm going to accept my fault. And with that being said, then you're able to kind of build off of that. And there's an acronym that I live by, and I've actually kind of just talked about it with my brother recently. It's called the ACT, the ACT acronym. You are accountable, you are consistent, and you're trustworthy. Those three words obviously play out to being one word itself. But if you're accountable, you're able to be consistent. And without the consistency, you don't have trust.
Look at you, man.
That is a very good one. Again, another one of Gibbs' rules, Rule 51. Sometimes you're wrong.
So let me ask you that. If you're telling us, somebody's telling a story, Bill Smith's telling a story about the Predators, right? Yeah. Hey, goes, man. Boy, in 2015, they made that Stanley Cup run to the final. Do you correct him, a guy, when he's incorrect on a sports? Knowing.
Because. Okay, this is a really.
Because I do.
Yes.
I want you to be correct.
But
I don't want to come off as an ass.
So I'm glad you brought this up because I run into that a lot. You know, like, we do what we do. Mm-hmm. So we're naturally just, you know, in this stuff. And I'll hear, like, one of my friends or something say something that's not factual. And immediately I'm like, that's not right. You know, and so, but I don't want to come across, because I've had instances before where I've been like, no, actually it was this. Like, oh, sports good. Gonna be Mr. Right every time. And it's like, no, I just be factual. You know, you're wrong. You know, so I usually kind of let it go for a second. Mm-hmm. And then if they say it again, I go, actually it was 2017.
Yeah, I mean, I have to. I can't. I don't make it a scene.
But the best part is when I've had this happen a few times where it's usually like somebody like at the bar or whatever.
Yeah.
That's like, oh, I'm right about everything. I'm never wrong. And they're like, oh, no, it was 2015. Like, yeah, dude, I worked it. It was 2017.
Yeah.
That's when I pull that out, that it's like.
I don't make a scene. I won't call you out in the middle of.
If you're a jerk to me, then I will bury you.
If you're telling that story, I'm like, oh, by the way, it's 2017. You know, that's the inflection in your voice. But it happens all the time. And I don't do it all the time. But it's just like, I want you to be right about this.
Yeah.
And things that go on, you know. And it happens all the time with sports things or years. And I know a lot of people don't remember the place. But if you're adamant, like one time this guy argued with me that Chris Johnson's rookie year was 2006. And it was not.
No.
Dude, I mean, he argued me nonstop. He goes, we're not going to Google this. We're going to ask.
Yeah, it was 08.
I'm like, just look it up. It's 08. Don't make a big scene about this. And it was 08. Like, so I won't. Because if I'm wrong, correct me.
Yeah.
I want to be correct.
I do all the time.
Yeah, you're right. Remember the one day I said that the Oilers have been here longer than they were in Houston?
Yeah.
You're like, no, they haven't. I'm like, Chase, add it up. And then I started adding up. I was like, oh, God, he's right.
Steiner math. Dubin math.
Want to get away?
Adam in Portland, the most important decision of my life was finding the courage to ask out my wife. I almost didn't do it. She is way, 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 way too hot for me. Attaboy. But she gave me a shot. We hit it off, and 19 years and three amazing kids later, it's easily been the best decision I've ever made. I got to marry my best friend, and we laugh every day.
Look at you, Adam. That's awesome. You know, I tell people again, always take chances. Always do that.
8566, I turned down a D1 scholarship because deep down I knew I wasn't good enough to make it to the next level, and instead I chose to chase my then-girlfriend to another school. Of course, we broke up anyway, but I met my now wife, happily married with three kids.
Well done. Text back, what sport was that in? Curious.
Yeah, I'd be curious. It's Eric Church has a song called What I Almost Was, you know, that kind of talks about, like, events that happen that, you know, sway a decision one way or another.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the cool thing about life.
Drive you crazy. You think about that all the time.
Choose your own adventure game. That's what life is.
Yeah, you're right.
Let's see. Texter just says, hey, guys, just wanted to touch base with you. I want a pair of tickets from you all to go see the Braves in Atlanta last week. Going to see the Braves has been on my bucket list for a while now. Got to take the day off work and go down with my wife and see the game. We had a great time and made some good memories. Thanks so much for the opportunity. Well, you're welcome. Glad you had a good time.
We'll be there a week from today.
We sure will. We will be at Truist Park, home of the Atlanta Braves, as they take on the Washington Nationals.
Do we get access to the dugout or locker? What do you call it? The locker room?
Brian Snitker has said that if he sees us anywhere near the dugout, we will be escorted off the premises. No, not really. I think we could.
I will tell Brian Snitker that I one time went to a game at Fulton County Stadium, but I promise you, there were 300 people there. It was
probably
the Pirates and the Braves in 1986.
So did you go to – this will be your first time at Truist Park, right?
Correct.
Did you ever go to Turner Field?
Did not.
Ah, dang.
Nope, I didn't. Nope.
You could have been at all three.
Nope. I went, and John Smiley was pitching for the Pirates, and it was awful. And the Pirates were terrible. The Braves were terrible. But it was the best time.
Our favorite, Kenny the Mailman, has called in to answer our question of the day. Kenny, what's going on?
Hello, good friends. How are y'all?
We're doing wonderful. How are you?
A life-changing moment for me. 4 or 5 years ago, I accepted an unpaid position. I became president of the Joe Dubin Fan Club, and it absolutely changed my life. I mean, I have to contact 7 or 8 people a month that let Joe know what Joe's doing and what Golden Corral he's going to be appearing at. It's meant a lot to me.
But, Kenny, you also got premier seating at Steak and Shake when you dropped my name, so not
bad.
I was
about to say, what does that get you exactly?
Mailman.
Did we lose Kenny? I think we lost Kenny.
Kenny got in trouble calling us on the job. He's on his route.
Hey, yo, I was just delivering some papers out here in Bellevue, and I saw something going on, and this deer came across, and I wanted to pet a deer. So I get out of the truck, mail truck, went over and petted the deer. I said, hey, deer, what are you doing today? And he said, Mr. Kenny, I'm just having a good time and enjoying life. And I said, well, you go about your way and watch out for hunters around here, but it's not really hunting season in November. So I got back in my truck and headed back down to deliver more mail. Y'all have a good day.
Thank you, Kenny and Joe Kenny.
What happened to Kenny? Is Kenny okay?
He's fine.
Did Eric finally take him out?
I don't know. 615-737-1025. More coming here from the Omni Nashville Hotel. Also, it's your opportunity to sign up to play or sponsor by going to 615open.com. It's benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course on Thursday, May 29th. An underrated Skinner song, I think. Tuesday's gone. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 the game. It's a Thursday here at the Omni Nashville Hotel, just outside Kitchen Notes. We're in the lobby today, so I've had a few people come by and wave at us and all that. So that's been really cool. The Titans rookies are going to be starting rookie minicamp. There's a practice open on Saturday to the media that they'll be out at. But, you know, what are we expecting? Like, does Cam Ward need to show up and immediately just take over as a leader, even with, you know, fellow rookies? Or what do you want to see out of him?
So, 06, when Vince came in, it was not concerning, but he didn't step up like, all right. And I get with the rookies, and I guess there was a little nervousness there with him. And but he finally, you know, as the season went on, he became kind of a leader, but not out the gate. Mariota, on the other hand, we all wanted him to be very demonstrative in 2015, and he wasn't because that was not his nature.
Yeah.
And I think it drove a lot of us mad in the media. It's kind of like, hey, man, step up.
It drove Vrabel crazy, too.
Step up. And that was 4 years into it. I think Wisenhunt kind of coddled Mariota a little bit because that was his golden child.
That's a great point.
And but with Cam Ward, I think, you know, look, as a quarterback, you were already the leader. But at what point do you assume that leadership role when the vets get here? It's a fine line, man. And
I think you have to earn it.
I absolutely think you have to earn it.
Yeah, I mean, I don't – I think how you earn that is, like, when you're in the huddle, you know, it's things you say. Like, if a guy drops a pass, like, hey, man, we'll get it next time or something like that. I mean, that's kind of how you earn some of that stuff. But to your point on Marcus, that was his biggest problem. Marcus couldn't find – his leadership style.
Some guys don't have it. He didn't have it.
Right. Yeah. And I mean, like, Steve McNair was not demonstrative. He wasn't going to get in your face. Like, he was kind of quiet, but like, you just kind of knew because of his work ethic.
Well, what did Chris Sanders say? You know, you drop a pass, and Steve on our show, Chris said one time he dropped a potential touchdown, walked back to the sideline, and Steve was just staring at him.
Yeah.
He's like, that's all I needed to know was that. I got to do better. Sometimes it's just a look and do all that. But, I mean, look, this guy bounced around from Houston to Washington State to Miami, success all the way. So he had to adapt, become a leader with people he just recently met. I think there'll be no problem here of doing that. But at the same time, there's going to be some vets who are like, you gotta show me what you got, boy, and then go from there. I don't know, man. I just – we have the comparisons with the Vince Youngs and with the VY. Locker, in 2011, he came in here. I think he was deer in the headlights, man.
Oh, he was.
Big time.
Locker, I think Locker realized pretty quick, like, hey, I don't love this game like I thought I did.
Yep.
And then when Wisenhunt got here, it just ruined it for him.
Well, I remember the game, when he ran, it was supposed to be a pass. He scrambled and ran in the end zone. It was against the Browns. And I thought he was dead. They hit him so hard after he scored a touchdown. And I'll never forget Wisenhunt saying, well, that was the wrong play. The play was designed to go the way and throw the ball. I'm like, this dude just scored a touchdown for you on your crappy team, and you're giving him all this garbage about doing that. And I think absolutely ruined him. And, you know, with Hasselbeck being here for Locker in 2011 really helped him.
Yeah, that was the right move.
Because he talked about how Hasselbeck helped him off the field, become a player, become a better man, was all that. But it's just one of those things where you just didn't see it. And so maybe Cam will be different. Maybe Cam will come in and say, this is my team, let's go. I don't know.
I just – there's things I like about him. You know, he's got – he's got enough humility, and he's humble enough, mixed with he's got a little bit of cockiness too. And I think that's a good balance, like in a good way, confidence.
Yeah.
But, you know, confident, borderline cocky. Like when he said in the workouts, when he looked over at the Titans coaching staff and said, I'm just going to solidify it for you today. Like, I like that. Yeah. Like, okay, all right. I'm cool with that. Like, yep. I didn't have an issue. But he's also, like, when he did the interview with ESPN, getting emotional, you know, just how hard he worked to get to that point.
Was he the first zero star to get I read some
overall
stat. Well, I know they were all overall, but some zero star, not to go in the first round, but something else went in there. And that just shows, man, that nothing was handed to him.
Yeah.
Nothing was handed to Cam Ward. I mean, he goes to the 7-on-7 in 2017 or 2018 in high school, and the Incarnate Ward coach, who's now at North Texas, like, who is this guy?
Yeah.
Like, we don't really have him on our sheet.
Yeah.
And then they signed him, and then, boom, took off from there.
Takes over and, you know, goes to Washington State and then Miami. But that's why I think this is going to work out. Like, I think the makeup is there for him to do these things.
Well, Callahan's got to pour everything into him
because
his future is riding on Cam Ward.
Yeah.
Everything.
It is.
So, and I think if they go, well, yeah, make the playoff, I think if you show marked improvement, if you could still go 7-10, but that team's better, he's better, the Callahan's here.
The question I have, we can talk about this coming up next, is I know the fans are going to harp on record. They're going to look at the record and go, ah, they went, you know, 7-10, fire him, whatever. How are they? How's Amy? How's Chad? How's Borgonzi? How are they going to evaluate Brian Callahan next year?
Can I say it again? I say it all the time. You just got to be better than three other teams.
Well,
right. That's all you got to do, man.
We'll discuss that and much more coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.